Brian C. Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I'm about to talk about Peacock in just a moment.
Oh.
What I was forced to do last night. But before we do, I want to shout out Marty Turco. Marty Turco is just the coolest dude.
Yeah.
I was at a bar late Saturday night, probably too late, and I looked up on the wall, and there was an autographed Marty Turco jersey on the wall. And my buddy goes, I bet Marty didn't even sign that. And I saw the autograph and was like, I know what Marty's autograph looks like. That is absolutely it.
Well.
And they said they didn't believe me. So Whoa. What did I do?
Texted it.
Leveled up on him, texted him a picture, and was like, my buddies don't believe it. And he goes, hey, if they really cared, they'd actually zoom in on the picture so I could see it a little better. And I was like, all right then. So I went and got closer, took a better picture. He was like, I absolutely signed that. It was for the people at Jake's, that whole team there.
Hell
yeah.
He
was like, that's absolutely mine. And I was just like, dude, you're the best.
Money
and
party.
Yeah. I haven't gone back to look at what time I texted him, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty late. And that dude had the kindness to respond to me because that's Marty Turco.
Because you also sent him a picture of you drinking Kingsville. And they were like, all right.
There's so much Kingsville here. Shout out to Derek Holland, who's toloing right now, for sure.
Yeah. Do you want to read what he texted?
He's not a huge fan of the quarterback that's now in Oregon.
He is not.
Is what I'm...
Hey! Why don't you come on the show, man? But we can hang out outside.
I'm always down. So last night, and we'll get to hits and misses in just a moment, by the way, because it is.
Poor Jordan Love.
Hits and misses.
I already see where this is going.
Last night, I was, Adrian wanted to start watching a show. I don't know.
What show? His and hers?
Some lady was lead poisoned by her husband over like a long period of time.
Mm.
And they were trying to figure out who done it. And it was her husband who got in trouble.
And that's what makes you nervous, right? That she's interested in the long-term play of the poisoning. Cause she's like, well, I can get away from that.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I'll listen to the football game for a little while. I had some chores to do anyway. So I needed to get some things done. So I put my earbuds in, walked around. Then I came back into the living room. She was gone. TV's off. Oh. And I'm like, well, now's my time. But I did realize this game's on Peacock.
Mm.
I do not have Peacock. Kevin, I told you last week, or a couple weeks ago, I said, for whatever damn reason, I don't even know why, I put my foot down on not having to pay for Peacock.
You're like, they show The Office 24/7 on Comedy Central anyway. I don't need it.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm already paying for this. Why?
I get it.
NBC has always been free. And now they're trying to make me pay for it, which makes me kind of wonder, is there an ABC app that I can stream?
Yeah, they're part of Hulu, right?
I need to know exactly which ones so I can completely break away from what the other one, the big one that I pay.
Well,
you know?
Hulu's about to go away anyway.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. All right, so I said, well, I got to get the app. I'm going to have to get Peacock tonight. Mm. And they said, hey, we're not offering any free trials anymore, you dummy. And I was like, dang it. And then I said, all right, well, I'll pay the $7.99 for it. And I paid that $7.99,
Kevin. Did you really?
And then I logged on, and then I clicked on the game, and it said, you have to upgrade to watch this game.
Shut up, did it?
And I was like, you SOB. So at that point...
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Then I had to add an extra $10.99 plus tax...
Get you on that
and
tax.
I just paid the $8.01 for the other one.
Oh, you had to pay more?
Double. Which
I did get
an email later that they said, hey, you're going to get a refund.
Okay.
But I didn't like that, man. Okay. I didn't like this at all. Now, I don't want this app.
Mm.
It was for one game.
Mm.
Are they going to have any other games?
I think that's their only one.
You're kidding me.
I think it is for this playoff cycle.
You're kidding me.
I'm very sorry.
They got me for the crappiest game.
Man, that game was bad.
I paid $11-ish for that.
Mm.
What else? What other shows are on Peacock?
Oh, man. They have the greatest reality show ever.
I don't
ever
watch reality
made.
Shows. Give me another
you
show.
You will change your mind for this. It's called Traitors. It's awesome. Have I watched the New Zealand, Australia, England versions of this show? Hell yeah. Because every single one of them is badass. You should watch Traitors. It's great. Also, they have a movie on there called Begonia that I think you would really like.
Yeah.
Would you like, call me?
Like
it,
a lot.
Is it about flowers?
No.
Stupid. The whole titles of...
It's about a hostage negotiation and potential aliens.
Yeah, I think it might rock with NFL Plus. That's a good idea. All right.
But watch Begonia and Traitors.
So there you go. That's some weird stuff that I was dealing with. And no, I didn't want to... I didn't need to go get an antenna. So just use a regular antenna. No! I was doing laundry, and then I decided to sit down and watch a game. I got to find an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I love you and appreciate you, though.
Okay.
So that happened.
Okay.
Guys, we keep track of the top passers and top rushers. The top five passer records this weekend, 4-1.
Oh.
The top five rushers, 2-3.
Okay.
Which brings us to the conclusion, don't run the football in the playoffs.
I don't. What's that? What you took
All
from that?
You have to do, well, I mean, hold on.
Okay.
They won two games. The passers won five games.
All right.
What are your thoughts here?
I guess.
Based on the information given to
Based us. Based on the information given to me. Screw it.
From the 682 Peacock trying to make me pay for David Frenfrock reports. That's... Oh, man.
Does he still do that?
I don't know. I haven't watched because I haven't had Peacock.
Oh,
now I do.
That makes sense.
I've already seen The Office and Parks and Rec and some of 2.5 Men. I've already seen them.
Traitor.
So I'm not one
Traitors.
Of those that loves to go back and watch The Office again. I've already done it.
Whoa.
I've already done it. I want new stuff in my life. Give me new things.
What if those last two seasons didn't exist except for the finale, which is awesome?
Oh, man. Cry? Did you cry?
No, but it was very emotional.
Because you don't cry.
I cry. I told you the story. I cried in fourth grade when my juice box exploded in my backpack 2 days after our house had gotten robbed.
Every time
I broke
you
down.
Say, every time you say your juice box exploded,
like, it's not a euphemism. Oh, I'm sorry. You're so good looking. My juice box exploded. Come on.
All right,
Roll
guys.
Up.
Y'all like the hits or the misses from the weekend?
I want the hits. I'm boycotting the misses because I think Jordan Love's going to be in the misses.
Let me see. He isn't in the top three. honorable mention for the hits of the weekend. Christian McCaffrey. 114 total yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 catches. But give DeMarcus Robinson some love, too. 6 catches 100 or for... 111 yards. That was nice on him. The pass from Juwan Jennings, beautiful. Watching him, this is one of the things that I was listening to Troy Aikman talk about some of his offense whenever Norv Turner got there. His steps, he had to be faster to get to a spot. Hearing some people talk about Patrick Mahomes and how he runs to a spot, gets there, sets, finds things and throws. Watch Juwan Jennings get the handoff and then kick it into an extra gear to get to his spot so he can plant his feet and throw.
Right.
A lot of times you'll say, hey, receiver, throw this ball. We'll run it through practice and you can throw it. It's fun and all that stuff. But there are real things about getting your feet set, squaring up, and throwing a football downfield to deliver a good pass. And Juwan Jennings absolutely did that to Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey, just a stud, dude. Like, that dude's a stud. Number two.
Did you hear his post-game interview at all? I can't remember what the question was, but it was like, you know, oh, how did it work out dealing with that adversity? And he goes, well, I mean, we won, so pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, oh, that might be a rude answer. And so he like still gave out a really nice answer. It was just funny though.
Number two on the honorable mentions list, Puka Nacua. 10 catches, 111 yards, also 3 rushes for 42 yards and a touchdown.
Could he have been number one if he wouldn't have dropped that one pass?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I do have this question regarding Puka. It's kind of fascinating that he runs the ball and he's just kind of like that dude.
Yeah.
Debo was that for a minute. You know, Debo Samuel was like, hey, you can hand him the ball too. When CeeDee Lamb gets hurt doing it, everybody loses their damn mind.
Yeah.
If you have a tool like what Puka Nacua can do, and you can line him up all in every single spot behind or on the lines, wherever you want to, and now the defense has to deal with that disguise, if nothing else, or the threat, or the reality that he can rush a touchdown in. That right there is a very useful tool to have in your toolbox. And whenever the Cowboys want to do that, fans are going to complain. You're going to get your star receiver hurt.
Well, how come they didn't complain when he wasn't getting hurt but still did it all the
exactly.
time?
Exactly. I'm fine with it. If you can do it, do it. I will also say, like, there's a certain level of toughness I think that it takes to be the running back receiver as well. I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb's not tough. But body type, I think you need to be a little stockier for something like that.
Oh.
Just because look at most running backs are stocky dudes.
Yeah.
You don't have a bunch of trim little guys out there, you know, running and sprinting away. That's not how it is. They are stocky dudes, sprinter bodies that take on a lot of hits. You got to have the muscles to go along with it. I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb doesn't, but that's what I'm saying is with Puka, it's kind of fascinating because everybody's like, good gosh, that guy, look at all the things he can do. Number three on the hits of the weekend, Matt Stafford, 6-7 on a 71-yard touchdown drive to end that game. Mm. Wasn't a sparkling performance from him. It was, like, good to start the game throughout, but whenever his team needed him, he absolutely locked in and put them in position to win that game. And now he's got a little bit of a sprain.
This might be a question for tomorrow. Are you worried at all about the Rams?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they have some injuries. Looked, again, lots of banged up teams.
Plus, they looked kind of shaky.
Yeah. Oh, I'll give the Panthers credit too. Defensively, they're a stout team. But I see what you're saying there for sure. I have some concerns. There's not a favorite for me in the NFC at the moment.
Ooh, okay.
I have lots of, like, it could be any of these teams.
Interesting.
And you know, that's the thing about being a knower of football, like Romo, is whenever you kind of don't know what you think you should know. Number two, Colston Loveland, 8 catches to lead the Bears. It was his big time moments, though. That was he had some big time, huge.
And you said it was going to happen.
Yes. Huge chunks of yards that he was getting on those plays, too. I was like, hey, you said Roma Dunze was back.
Yeah.
And I said, that's great because they need a guy like that. And then there was the conversation. I was like, the one dude that I really have faith in for the Bears is Colston Loveland. This was the first time this season that DJ Moore had 6 catches. So that was a big deal for him to do that too. There was some really brilliant designed plays by Ben Johnson to set up that play to DJ Moore and some other things, the screens to Luther Burden that set those things up to really brilliantly done stuff there. Plus, always knowing that you have one play of Trayvon Diggs out there to expose him always kind of works out there. So that was nice.
Did you see all the Cowboys fans who are like, oh, Mike and Trayvon reunited, not in the playoffs. And I'm like, well, we didn't make the playoffs either.
Yeah. I also got to love Ben Johnson after the game, the weird handshake where he just like grabs his hand and runs off and then goes in the locker room just yelling F the Packers because
you want to play that audio? I think we've got that. Yeah, go ahead and play cut number 12. By the way, when the Bears posted this, they edited it for us, which was nice. Does it make any difference to you that somebody else in the locker room yelled F the Packers and then he was like, yeah, nope. F the Packers?
No, he even said this is a rivalry it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want my coaches sitting next to each other at a basketball game. I want my coaches like shotting his group. Number one, Fernando freaking Mendoza. 5 touchdowns, 177-yard passing. Indiana defense went in damn sane. All right, and now let's get to the misses. We'll run through these kind of quickly in honorable mentions. Romeo Doubs, 8 catches, 124 yards, a touchdown. His team lost. Jalen Coker, 9 catches, 334 yards, touchdown, leading the Panthers in receiving. His team lost. Jordan Love, 4 touchdowns. By the way, he was in hits and misses last year with 3 touchdowns. Guess why he was on the misses?
Because they lost.
So number 3
touchdowns.
Number 3, Kevin. I had Trevor Lawrence here for the 2 picks, including the game loser. But the Chargers are so atrociously gross on offense. I know the Pats defense deserves credit, but man, the Chargers are vomit in your hands, disgusting. Number 2, Brandon McManus missed 2 field goals and an extra point. He got a 3-year extension in the offseason, by the way. And number 1,
he said his performance was disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why you're number 2 on here. Number 1, the worst. Jalen Hurts can only muster up 168 yards, and A.J. Brown can't catch in the clutch. That team was so toast this year, and you know that city wants to tear down the whole damn thing.
I can't, you know what I think about all the time is the defensive players like, you didn't even have 100 yards. And he goes, hey, MF-er, we won the game. Like, I think about that.
But they
probably
lost the game.
Yes,
and
they
looked
did.
Bad.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on at 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who was the best at being the worst this weekend? We'll fire up some wanker of the weekend next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to just say the San Jose Sharks, even though it probably makes more sense to put the Dallas Stars in there. It's time for wanker of the weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend, and why was it Shay Given? I'm going to go and play this, cut number 21, and if you can't hear it super well and it's a short clip, I'll explain what happened. He is a soccer broadcaster who was working for the BBC. I'll let you decide if he's still employed there.
Should be given that week at least. Nancy took over that week, had an absolute holocaust in that week, and
so he was talking about a former coach and how terrible it was and said that that tenure was an absolute holocaust.
And he posted on X. He didn't fully understand the meaning of and certainly won't ever use it again. We all have areas of ignorance in our knowledge, and I hope to use this as an opportunity to become better educated going forward. I'm genuinely mortified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll be donating my fee from today's show to the Holocaust Educational Trust.
Okay. And I think that that is delightful. It's tough because he's right. We're all ignorant about certain things and we have holes in our knowledge. I wouldn't have guessed it would be lack of knowledge about the Holocaust, but there are things that people bring up to me and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I there are words that my grandparents used that can't be used now, right? Like, I'm sure that
for sure
all of our, like, that generation, it was a different time. And there are certain phrase, like, things that we don't study enough because
sure,
what is the truth of this? Anyway, there's a long story there. You try to make something sound as bad as it possibly can, and that's the worst thing that you can think of, and you're like, oh man, why did I use that? Remember, was the Oklahoma City broadcaster that said he's out of his mind?
Yeah.
And he said cotton picking.
Yeah.
And when he said that, everybody was like, oh, because he's black. And he was like, that wasn't even what I was thinking at all, yet he still got fired or suspended.
No, he eventually did get fired. And I have to remember, in that moment, I like didn't even think that part through. It was just a phrase that I heard people say all of the time. And then upon looking at it, I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And I don't think he meant that by it, but he lost his job nonetheless.
Yeah. No, this is that wasn't a great thing to say there.
Yeah. And like I said, he is no longer employed with them. All right. You want to jump right to George Pickens or do some other stuff first?
Oh, let's jump right in.
All right. Is George Pickens the wanker of the weekend for not understanding, I don't know, stats? He put on Instagram after he was named second team All-Pro, which means
you're congratulations.
One of the best six receivers in all of football. Brandon Aubrey was second team, and so was Kamonte Turpin. And in fact, if you look at the way they kind of like layered it, he essentially was the fourth best receiver in football because it looks like he had the most votes on the second team for All-Pro. He said, what's the criteria for first team All-Pro? Question mark. Ah, gotcha. It's not about the play. All right. Let's take a look. Here are the three wide receivers who were first-team All-Pro. Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua had 36 more catches than George Pickens, 286 more yards receiving than Pickens, and one more receiving touchdown. So he's better in all of those discernible receiving categories. So Puka feels like he had a better season than Pickens, yes?
Okay.
Jackson Smith and Jigba also First team All-Pro Jackson Smith and Jigba had 26 more catches than Pickens, 364 more yards, and one more receiving touchdown.
Those dudes had exceptional seasons.
And objectively better than George Pickens.
What's objectively mean?
Without question or doubt.
I think without question or doubt, they definitely have better seasons.
Now, there's two, the other first team All-Pro. And I will let you decide. Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase had 32 more catches than Pickens for seven, but Pickens had 17 more yards and one receiving touchdown more than Ja'Marr Chase. But let me throw one more person.
George Pickens also had four fumbles
into the mix. Ooh. Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was second team.
Yeah.
Along with George Pickens. Pickens had 28 more yards receiving than St. Brown. St. Brown had 24 more catches and two more receiving yards. So there's a strong argument to be made that definitely Puka and JSN, but very, very possibly Ja'Marr Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was also second team, had better seasons than George Pickens.
I do wonder if he wasn't talking about the first two and he was talking about the third one.
Okay, so let's examine that. I still think that's a silly thing to say. Ja'Marr Chase had 32 more catches than him.
Mm-hmm. All right? Less touchdowns.
One. That is true. One fewer touchdown.
Out of all those 32, he could have had one more touchdown, hey, and we're good.
That is true.
15.4 yards a carry is a pretty cool number, or a catch is a pretty cool number.
That's true. Their quarterback was also out most of the season.
What quarterback?
The Joe Burrow. But my point is, I don't think you can look at George Pickens' stats and say there's no doubt he was better than both of these people. And he's out there complaining, saying, oh, it's not about the play. And he said, popularity contest, question mark. No team in the NFL has more fans than the Dallas Cowboys. So, I don't.
Well, I mean, this is a dude also, and I am playing this side of it. This is a dude also that's felt like he has always gotten picked on. In
sure.
Pittsburgh, and then he's like, I came here and I was really good.
No, he was absolutely really good. And the reward was you're a second team All-Pro dubbed as the fourth best wide receiver in football this year. I would think you would take that time to celebrate instead of being like, ah, so it's not about the play on the field. If Ja'Marr Chase had like 900 yards, then I'd be like, what the hell is going on
does
here?
Does first team All-Pro change his salary?
I do not believe so. Where that comes into play, I feel like, is usually for Hall of Fame.
And yeah. I think you can throw coin flips at the other three guys and be okay with it. Like St. Brown having the more touchdowns. I thought St. Brown, like, he was effectively, man, Chase had one less game too. So those yards would be nil. Null and void had that happen.
True.
The touchdown might have been as well. I'm interested to know, early in the season, didn't it feel like they didn't quite know how to use Pickens until CeeDee Lamb got hurt?
And then
that could have changed his season too. I think it's a great honor. I think it's a great honor. I like the chip on the shoulder though, dude. Stay that way.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what? No, y'all aren't going to respect me. Don't use it though to be like, there's nothing else I can do. Use it to say, I'm going to go out there and show you even more next year.
See,
with
a
star on the side of my helmet.
And that's what I would love.
For a reasonable price.
Not the conspiracy that people are out to get him, but the idea that, like, all right, you need me to turn it up even more? Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I hope that's the case. I hope that thing happens.
SEC football! Are they the wankers of the weekend as officially they are not in the championship game? This is the third straight season the SEC has not been in the championship game for NCAA real Division I football. It's the first time that's happened since 2000 to 2002. And if you prefer, I say FBS, okay. And they also went 2-8 against non-conference opponents in bowl games and the playoffs.
Mm.
I know it still means more, but that hurts.
What happened to the SEC?
Do you think maybe it didn't mean more enough?
So you're saying that the boosters need to open those checkbooks a little more.
Ooh.
Because obviously Indiana, Miami, Ole Miss. Well, hold on. Ole Miss was part of it.
I mean,
Miami
got those wins.
They spent enough
to
get the right ones. Yeah, I guess it doesn't mean more enough, Kevin, is what we have to reside on.
And then I like people that are behind. I'm not paying for Peacock, damn it. All right. Fair enough. All right.
Listen, I had to.
I know.
And it was the dumbest decision.
Max Kepler and Dennis Schroeder. Schrader, if you're not fancy. Schroeder was suspended 3 games for trying to hit Luka Doncic. This is going back a couple of weeks. Finally came, the suspension came down. And then Max Kepler was banned 80 games for violating MLB's drug program.
Dude.
Do they both qualify as wankers?
I think you can make them wankers for sure.
Yeah.
Don't violate the drug program.
Do you think, what
who reads the program?
Hopefully your agent, right? When you sign, they're like, hey.
And then you got to be honest with your agent about what you do.
Yes.
So that they know, hey, it says here not to do it.
Yes.
We either need to figure out a way to cover it up or just don't do it. That's probably the first one, the first option there, so that we don't get screwed out of these caches.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like your talking doctor. You need to be upfront and honest.
Okay. Hey, players that we know that have worked with us before. When you get suspended, does your agent still get the cut of the contract that you were given if you're not getting all that money?
Same question with fines.
Yeah.
Same question with fines.
If you have to pay fines.
Because I like the idea of the agent calling an athlete. He's like, hey, man, you got to cool it out on these fines. And he goes, what? I didn't get suspended. He's like, well, yeah, that comes out of my cut, too.
Yeah, I feel like the agent probably gets their cut like right as soon as the check's done. They're like, all right, now here's my 5-whatever percentage.
Right.
And then you're on your own now. Because if you wait till the end of it, you're just like, gosh, I'm never getting paid.
That is interesting.
Players that I know, let us know.
All right. And now this is just an allegation. They have denied it, but I don't know if you would consider Marcus Freeman the wanker of the weekend. He was accused of battery by a high school wrestling coach. But this one is complicated as well because Freeman and his wife were separated from, I believe, the assistant wrestling coach where his son was wrestling. Maybe it's the main coach. I'm sorry if I'm off on that. At a high school meet, and he was escorted off the mat, his son, after a loss. And then the assistant coach started exchanging words with him. And then the parents came out. And so the accusation is that, like, Marcus Freeman either, like, kind of bumped him on the way out or, like, intentionally, like, moved him out of the way to get out through the doors and everything like that.
Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame say the accusation against him are unfounded.
False.
No, unfounded.
Okay.
And they deny them.
Right. Was Notre Dame there?
He's a representative of Notre Dame, so yes.
I mean, I feel like Marcus Freeman knows what happened.
Here's the...
It's tough with kids.
You know, yeah, you know for a fact you're going to get goaded into things, opportunities like that.
For sure.
Right? If you are a famous person in the public eye, have cash in your pocket, that is going to happen.
And if someone's yelling at your kids, it's tough not to
react to dive into it for sure, yeah.
And, like, look, maybe I'll get dragged for this. I don't know. I really don't think if it was like a shoulder check walking out of the building and he was standing between you and the door and you just kind of shoulder checked him to move him out of the way, I do not think that's something that should necessitate police charges. Is that a crazy thought?
That is physically touching somebody.
I get it. I do.
Like, technically.
No, you're right.
I'm with you on it.
You're
right. But you know what? Do your best to walk around. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but no, unfortunately, I'll disagree.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Should've
coming up next.
Squared him in the jaw, though. That's the way to do it.
Huh. Let's chit-chat.
If you're going to take the charges anyway, you might as well get yours out of it.
Man, that took a hard turn from don't do that to, but if you do, swing away.
Yeah, get it.
All right. Coming up next. Let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the 19, Stafford has it helmet high, settles his feet, shoots right side, leaping catch, touchdown LA!
Wow!
At the front right pylon. Colby Parkinson gives the Rams the lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic after a wild card weekend that was infinitely better than at least the last two. Was there a game that had, I mean, I'm sure you watched them all, but like that you were most invested in as the game went along?
Would have to be Packers and Bears.
For sure.
That number 20 pick.
Yeah, baby.
By the way, much better than I feel like a lot of people texted in when we first made that trade. They were like, that pick's going to be 28, 31. Nope, pick 20.
Yeah, would have thought it would have been, like, best case scenario, you're thinking probably 24, 25.
It might have been if that guy who they traded for wouldn't have got hurt.
Lose every game.
They lose every game
after
where that
he
guy
goes
down. Yeah, that was a big difference. I talked to those guys up there. They are like, hey, listen, it happens. It's part of football. But they knew their team was probably dead to rights when that guy went down.
Is what he was not able to do yesterday really that different from what he'd done throughout the rest of his playoff career?
Who's that?
Micah Parsons.
He didn't get a chance to play, which probably would have helped the Packers in that game.
All right.
So
there's no question it would have.
I mean, they were in a bad situation. You know, they without him, that's why they traded for him. I mean,
sure.
they obviously didn't have what they needed to, what they felt like. So yeah, I mean, I don't think you could say that until, you know, if he would have played and they would have lost, then yeah, I think that's a fair assessment to make. But
yeah,
with him in the lineup, they were a different defense.
I agree. I was just curious what he would do in the playoffs because he's been a perpetual playoff disappointment early in his career. But you're right. They look different with him for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think the Jones boys were up along with those fans in Chicago chanting Packers suck?
Probably.
It was intoxicating.
Which is part of the problem, right? Yeah, guy.
Give me that grated cheese.
Was so
amazing.
Great.
For a chunk of the day for that first game, did you think we had a shot at pick 19? Because the Carolina Panthers were like, I know you thought this game was over, just like the Bears game, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. That game was fantastic. And I feel for Panthers fans right now, but you also, that's like the biggest moral victory of the entire football weekend, I would say. Like you're walking.
I can see that.
Like we're early in this Canales and Bryce Young sort of tenure, but yeah, the Rams they look like they could be vulnerable for as good as we know they can be. Man, they have some moments, and now they got to go into Chicago with that type of weather. That's gonna be tough, dude. That's gonna be really really tough. And Stafford had, I mean, for the second and third quarter, it was like Panthers are the better football team.
At least it's only a sprain on the finger,
yeah.
Right? Though
It's a sprain. Something's wrong with the Rams defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Something's wrong with the Rams defense. They're not the same defense they were earlier in the year.
No, mm-hmm. It's really ever since like
their secondary is very
the
thin
third
too.
Quarter of that Seattle game.
Their special teams.
They've
sucks
been struggling.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, and that special teams had a big point of that too. I mean, they were not playing great football going into the playoffs. They had that Monday night loss to the Falcons, which was a big surprise. So, I mean, look, Carolina, credit to them. I mean, Ted Roe and McMillan, as advertised, that dude's a freaking stud. Coker was balling out there. And
Mike
Bryce,
Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Mike corner, Jackson. Mike Jackson.
Fifth round Cowboys legend.
Lots of former Cowboys quarterbacks doing some stuff out there.
No, except Diggs.
Except for Diggs.
Diggs got that snap, got run over. That was great. But, I mean, I was just, it was an amazing football weekend until last night, which kind of went about the way that we thought it would. I was hoping the Chargers would put up a more of a fight there. But New England's defense was just nasty, and they just beat Herbert.
I know this sounds ridiculous, but when New England kicked a field goal to make it 9-3, what I said was that felt like an insurmountable deficit for the Chargers, which is absurd because you just score a touchdown. But watching that game, I'm like, they're done.
I was surprised Harbaugh didn't just kick the field goal. Like it
was
the theme of the weekend was like fourth down, we're going. And in certain situations, like, I don't know about that in the playoffs, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the analytic thing that we're doing here, but that's going to be a game you're on the road. You already are banged up along the offensive line. Points, you're going to be at a premium. You just came off of a turnover. Like, I don't really care what the analytic tells me to do there. I'm taking the points in the postseason in that situation. Instead, you don't get the fourth down. Now you've lost any momentum you had, and New England just goes on. And with how tight that game was, I mean, they only scored 16 points.
Three points went a long way
in that football game. Who knows how more you were going to be in that situation to even kick a field goal with the way it played out. So, I mean, look, the fourth downs, it worked out for some of these teams. The Rams, I thought, really screwed themselves with that fourth down late in the half, too. I mean, after that point on, that's when Carolina really took over.
It's interesting as well because the Bears had one of those moments, too.
Yeah.
Where they go for the fourth down when they probably should have just kicked the field goal. And they had so many moments where they
had to go their way.
And a lot of them didn't, and they were still able to win.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I felt the same way about the Carolina game when Bryce Young ran it in for the touchdown. I was like, how the hell is this game so close? It feels like it's realistically like 28-10 or something.
Yeah. Well, what a swing. The Puka dropping that deep ball.
Oh my gosh. Easiest catch he'd ever made.
Seriously. And he made amazing plays in that game.
He did.
But that one right there, that could have been kind of one that helped put things away a little bit early.
If you're a Bronco fan, you have to be sick right now, don't you?
Because you get Josh Allen?
Yeah.
They're underdogs in that game, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait.
I mean,
who's they?
The Broncos.
The Broncos are home dogs?
They're early. There's two home dogs already. Yeah. The early line, Buffalo by 1.5 and the Rams by 3.5.
Well, well, well.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to be sick.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen, to me, looks like he's on a mission.
Yeah.
I mean, he was nasty.
Jacksonville, not an easy team to have to deal with, not an easy place to play with the crowd noise and stuff.
And they beat him up he was getting.
The Bills team is beat up, too.
Yeah. Finding a way to win. If you're Denver, you have to be a little nervous about that guy showing up.
Well, he's got to.
He's got a baby on the way.
No chance. He's got the dad strength maybe kicking in for him. But it was very evident for three quarters of that game. Like, if they lose, should the Bills clean house?
Right.
Like, as good as they've been, the way they've put together this football team around Josh Allen, which should be win now, is kind of ridiculous. Like, outside of James Cook, their offensive weapons are ass.
There were some receivers show up in that game the other day.
Cooks has stepped up and made plays for him.
Yeah. Man, he really has.
Yeah. And Dalton, like, the two tight ends are solid, Kincaid and Knox. Kincaid is still not hit as good of a player as I thought he could be coming out of Utah. He's been good. He hasn't ascended.
I don't think they target him enough.
It's weird because it's inconsistent. There's games where it's like it seems like he's the number one receiver. Then you're right. There's other times it's like, is Dalton Kincaid on the field right now?
He has a hamstring injury this year, too, that kind of set him back.
And they tried. They took Keon Coleman in the second round, and he's been in and out of the lineup.
Some of that's his own fault.
If it was a rule to where every time you beat a team in the postseason, you get to take one of that team's players with you for the rest of the ride,
I think
I'm taking Parker Washington, the Jaguars wide receiver. If I'm Josh Allen, I'm going, oh my Lord. Who's this guy?
What happened to him early in the game?
He had a head injury.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of trying. I was driving around. I was listening. I'm like, what happened?
And they never said what was wrong. Do we need you? Okay, we need you.
Parker Washington.
Okay.
Washington, yeah. He went to the locker room, they said. I was like, well, what happened to him?
They injected a hell of a lot more talent and skill into his body. He walked back on the field and was crushing people.
Can't rely on Mike Mayock to tell you anything in a game.
Oh,
my God.
Super Bowl potential guest. By the way, 38.5 over under tonight. Am I foolish to think that points will be tough to come by?
No, you're not. Not at all. The Steelers play defense against their own offense at times.
And they do.
And the Texans defense is ridiculous. Cold weather. I'd probably take the under.
I think that's where I'm at as well. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always. Heggie, thanks for asking. 3 o'clock, Cody Alexander from matchquarters.com. I just jumped onto this website. Wolchuk booked him. I think this is a ball knower, basically.
He's a big time. I mean, when it comes to this coaching search, the dude has been breaking down defenses at a high level. He's definitely going to have some good insight on where the Cowboys should be going.
So you're going to talk ball, huh?
You're going to talk ball.
Love it.
Ball knowers at the round table.
Love it.
Does he know as much ball as Bobby?
I know more.
Cody knows ball. Yeah.
He knows ball.
Yeah.
Please sing that before he comes on. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk ball.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 to 2, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Stay over, dog, Kevin.
No. What is he doing?